Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
We're here to tell you about our podcast, The Earth Station DCU. Join us every week as we discuss the DC universe.
We talk everything DC, including comics, television, the cinematic universe, and so much more.
We look forward to bringing you some great reviews and discussions.
And don't forget,
read more comics.
Hello and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you another week of sci-fi news for this week. That's actually timely. Imagine that. So, I've been super, super busy just because I have a presentation that I am going to be doing at a library conference next week. So I just finished the presentation that I had yesterday with two other people. So it is now in the hands of the facility. And then we're going to record a podcast about the presentation, which the presentation is about podcasting. So it's a whole inception moment there. But I'm feeling very positive and very happy with the results. But I'm eager to get this presentation done and talk about what I do and my other presenters do with their podcasts. Two librarians, nonetheless. So, if you hear something in the background, please ignore that. I have a house full of cats. I wear comfortable shoes. And I'm my librarian. So, that's your trifecta for today. I am the stereotypical librarian. Except, I don't have crazy cat hair. I don't have any hair. So, we have a couple of great big topics we're going to be talking about in a moment. I don't know why I'm saying we, because it's just me. It's not like if the cats are going to chime in and say, hey, meow or not meow. I say meow. So we're going to talk about the passing of Marlon Lando and George Romero. We also have a new Doctor Who. And I'm going to be talking about what happened on D23 last week. And I'm going to stick to what's happening for the parks and not so much for the movies. Only because at this time that I'm recording, Comic-Con is happening right now. So I want to get more information as to what's going on. And the only thing that I will say is that I saw camera footage from cell phones about the Avengers Infinity trailer, which was, of course, horrible. But I'm wanting to talk about that when I see a better version of that trailer. So I'll hold off on that. So before I get into all that, I have a couple quick tidbits I want to talk about. We have, from last weekend, Spider-Man Homecoming had dropped off significantly. Not by, you know, small amounts. A significant amount that has dropped from the first week to the second week. So we're looking at a drop-off of 61% in its box office intake versus, nice little plug for Batman versus Superman, in which that, in its second week, had a 69% drop-off. So tell me, where is the hate for Spider-Man with such a drop-off when Batman versus Superman, almost similar in its respects with their drop-off, yet both made its money. And yes, some, and let me just rephrase that. a good many people didn't like Batman vs. Superman, but I, and a handful of people, even my doctor, who I got to have an annual exam, we talked about Batman vs. Superman, and how much we liked it. So, we're in the minority. But, nonetheless, stuff like this happens. It's not a reflection necessarily of a bad movie. It's just because in the summer, week to week, there's something new coming out. And it is hard to keep that momentum. The exception here in this case, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And we also have Wonder Woman. So they've been proven to be really big blockbusters because they've been able to retain week to week less of a drop off than what Spider-Man has experienced, as well as Batman vs. Superman. So, it's not to say that they're bad films, but that's the nature of summer movies. If you hit that sweet spot in which you don't have big hitters like, you know, War of the Planet of the Apes, then you should dominate that second weekend. But this was a very heavily expected ending to a trilogy, which I have yet to see, and I really do want to see this before it goes out of from the theaters, because today Valerian is out, as well as Dunkirk. So again, amongst everything else that I had to watch that's on the internet and TV, I also have the movies to still contend with. So, but thanks to my co-host Mr. Gene, who I cannot thank enough, we went out yesterday to have lunch, and we saw Baby Driver. And because, again, of all the work that I've been doing and getting this presentation ready, I needed this movie. Baby Driver by Edgar Wright. Oh my God. It is such a great film that is not a typical blockbuster movie, but is so much fun and is full of energy and great characters. And the soundtrack, the music that they use in this movie, is beyond anything that I thought about. It's equivalent to like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. It is so ingrained to that character. I mean, literally, I can argue that Baby Driver is like Peter Quill, except this is not a superhero movie, but it has very similar tones to its character. But oh my God, if you have not seen Baby Driver, I highly recommend that you do. Do it now, especially in the theaters. Don't wait till you watch it at home on DVD. Go to the movie theaters and watch that. So, all right, enough of that. So, Blade Runner 2, the trailer, the third one now, has now been released. That is something that I've talked about in the past episodes. By the time you get to a third trailer, there's no need to watch it, in my opinion. Simply put, you saw the teaser trailer, and you saw the first two. By that time, you already know, more or less, if you're going to see this or not see this. If you're going to see this, there's no reason to see a third trailer, because there's more footage. It's going to ruin what you're going to watch. And I felt, even with Spider-Man Homecoming, except for the third act, I pretty much saw the whole movie in the trailers. There wasn't a whole lot of surprises in this movie. So, except for, again, the third act. With Blade Runner, I'm done. I'm good. I'm going to watch it regardless. But now is the tricky part of trying to stay ahead of any ads that come along that way. Because as time progresses, the marketing campaign will kick in and ads will appear on TV and on YouTube and so forth. So I'm going to do my best to avoid as much as I can with spoilers. I don't want to see any more. So that's enough with that. So let's get started with the big three topics, starting off with two great legends that have passed. We have Martin Landau. And to me, my introduction to Martin Landau is not that I didn't care for Mission Impossible, which Tom Cruise now does his own thing. I knew of Mission Impossible growing up. But to me, he will always be Commander Koenig from Space 1999 that ran for two seasons. And I saw this in New York My favorite station at the time was WPIX, which was Channel 11. And, you know, you had Star Trek, but you also had Space 1999, who I think was produced by Jerry Anderson, who also does great stuff. But Martin Landau was, you know, not necessarily Kirk. He wasn't necessarily Picard, but kind of like an in-between-ish character. But what was weird, if you watch from like the first season to the second season, the opening shot, like to introduce the characters, you have them doing some kind of action scene. So Commander Koenig is in his office, and then he does a quick turnaround and grabs a phaser and shoots it. I'm like, who the hell is he shooting that he has to do this? Because it's in his office. But, you know, it just, I always thought that was kind of weird. But I always love the phaser or the gun that you use to shoot the lasers. Basically, if you look at it, it's a staple gun. Just turn it sideways and just use that. And I thought, I've always loved that. And I've loved Space 1999. I've even done paper eagles. Not great ones, but to the point where I was able to construct the body, the legs, and then I would have the front portion, maybe basically like a crumbled ball-ish kind of cone in which it can attach and detach from the body. So again, very heavy into this series, and Commander Koenig is, you know, he was amazing, and I love that guy. And of course, he did other great movies like Ed Wood, which him playing Bela Lugosi is fantastic. So one of the few times that I'm like, I'm in awe of what he brings to that role. He was in Tucker. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So I'm really happy. Hi, Merlin. Sorry, I have to get this cat off my laptop. So if you don't know, I have a new kitten named Merlin. So he's been a handful, and little bastard keeps... Why are you back again? I just took you off the table. It's like watching The Matrix, in which Neo sees the black cat walking by, and then for a moment, he sees the exact same cat walking right by. It's like the same thing happened just now. So it feels like very much like The Matrix. So anyway, so he keeps doing it by night. So in the middle of the night, he figures, hey, it's time for me to start playing, and I'm going to start biting everything that I see or not see. I don't care. So I have tons of scratches all over me, and I really don't like it. But any case, there he is, Merlin. All right, so let's go back to Martin Landau. Now, his daughter was in Buffy, and I'm blanking on her first name, but it's Drusilla, that worked with Spike. So I was very happy to be reminded from my co-host that was his daughter that was on Buffy. So, but still, very enjoyable, very happy to have known Martin Landau as far as an actor. And it, again, made a big impression on me. And again, I'm always saddened for a loss of a great talent like that. I was listening to NPR, and Fresh Air had an old interview of him from the 1990s, and as he was talking, he would break into different accents, and I was just like amazed by his talent. So again, a sad loss, but a great remembrance that we can always go back to watching his shows. On that same note, we also have another great talent that has recently passed, which is George Romero. If you know his work, you know that he is truly the father of zombie movies. And I was introduced to Night of the Living Dead by a dear friend growing up. When I watched that, really got me into watching horror movies. And one of the great things about watching horror movies, especially with him, is that he continued with Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, and there's another movie called Creepshow, in which there were separate vignettes with like an anthology movie. And one of the favorite ones that I have is called Crate with Adrienne Barbeau. Just call her Billy. And there's Father's Day, which, if you remember, I was going to talk about on Father's Day podcast. Bedelia, where's my cake? So if you get that reference, that's from Creepshow, and that segment is called Father's Day. I've always loved everything he has done, and I think the last movie that I saw was called Land of the Dead, in which it's still a continuation of the franchise that he started. And the zombies here were a little bit different. They were able to go underwater and still continue walking. Now, the zombies that he has done has been the slow, lumbering zombies. And then Zack Snyder redid his version of Day of the Dead. I'm sorry, of Dawn of the Dead, in which they run. Here, his versions of the zombies is that they didn't walk. They didn't, like, stumble. They ran after you. That was scary enough. But there's something, I'm not going to say the zombies are wholesome here, but there's something wholesome about the slow-moving zombies. And it's not, again, you can evade one or two, and if they're in a field, you can run past them. But it's when they start getting into masses, and they're slow, and you cannot evade them, that's when the danger happens. So, but watching all his movies, and I have to watch even more, because I didn't realize at this podcast recording that he did two other movies called Diary of the Dead and Survival of the Dead, which was 2007 and 2009. Those are something I have to continue watching, because I did see Land of the Dead. And it was Dennis Hopper and John Leguizamo, who was also in that. He's been in that zombie universe for such a long time, and he still does it in such a way that I'm still engaged to watch what he's doing differently and how he can continue this franchise. So, for all intents and purposes, The Walking Dead owes its big debt to what George brought to the screen, because otherwise, we wouldn't have The Walking Dead or Fear of the Walking Dead. So again, another great talent that has been now lost, but thankfully we can all rewatch all these movies. And if you haven't seen it, then it's all new to you. So go and enjoy everything that George Romero has done. All right, so let's move on to, we have a new doctor who happens to be a woman. Nevertheless, she regenerated. And I love that slogan, because we're referring to the whole Elizabeth Warren issue, in which Mitch McConnell, I believe, was warning her to stop what she was doing, but he's commenting saying that nonetheless she persisted. So it's a nice take on the fact that we have now a female doctor, something that has been long overdue for the past two doctors already. But I can't believe we're having an argument about, you know, what's next? A female Starbuck? You gotta stop, guys, thinking short term. Thinking that what has been done always is always going to happen in the future. Things have to change. Sorry. But if nothing else, we have Missy, who was a female master, played by Michelle Gomez, who I don't want to drop the F word because I don't want to cut it out, but I really enjoy her performance. She brings so much more to that character as a woman, playing off a doctor who's a male. Now that we have a woman, female doctor, going against her, and I hope they do. Again, I haven't watched this last season, so I hope they do. That's going to be freaking awesome. And I can't believe that we are having issues about gender, or about color, or about race. Stop. when Battlestar Galactica was reimagined, people lost their minds when we heard about Starbuck being a woman. I have no issues if it brings something more dynamic to the role, to the series, its interactions. But the only issue that I will bring up is like, what the hell was that about in season 4 and Starbuck being a ghost at the end? That's what I'll be more upset about. I'll be more upset about an actor who is taking over a new Doctor Who role, regardless of the gender, regardless of the race, regardless of the color, and they suck. They suck on their acting. Every time the Doctor regenerates, to me, there's always a period in which there's an adjustment, regardless, to understand who that new character is, that new actor, what he brings, or what the actor brings, in this case, to that role. I really have no idea who Jodie Whittaker is or what she has done. I do know that she has worked on Broadchurch with David Tennant, who was also a former Doctor. So, whatever the case is, let's judge it on its merits when we see its performance, when we see its story. If it sucks, it sucks because the story sucks. It sucks because it's bad acting. It won't suck because she's a woman. That's the point that we have to take away from all this. Let's not prejudge. Let's judge it once it's done. And if nothing else, take this as a piece of advice. Even Spock from the TV series Star Trek, on the episode, Let This Be Our Last Battlefield, Spock had said, and this is a quote, "Change is the essential process of all existence." So, if you're against change, you are against Spock. If you're against Spock, then you should not be listening to this podcast. I take those words not as for granted, but as truth. So I hope you, if you're on the fence about having a woman, female, member of the opposite sex, doctor, be more open-minded. Again, judge it on its ability to tell you a great story. Judge it on its ability to entertain you. If it doesn't do that, then it sucks. But not because she's a woman. That's all. Alright, so let's move on to the D23 Expo that happened last week. And again, I'm playing catch up here. But we now have the new Star Wars land that's happening at the Disney parks called Star Wars Galaxy Edge. So I'm ecstatic by the title and it sounds really cool. But when they show the layout, it's kind of like a combination of Tatooine and Endor-ish. Not necessarily something I would find at the Galaxy's Edge, but still, I think it's still a cool idea. But what got me even more excited is seeing the artwork for the Star Wars-inspired theme resorts that's going to be happening off Star Wars Land, or Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Land. I don't know how I want to say that. But it's supposed to be all immersive. And the restrictions are is that it's only going to be 400 rooms. It's only going to be for 1 to 2 nights only. And it's going to be really expensive per person. So I'm thinking that can be kind of cool. And I can see this if they bring back Star Wars weekends. But really, the whole idea of the Star Wars land is that every day would be Star Wars land, or Star Wars Day. But honestly, you know, when Mr. Gene and I went up to do the Star Wars weekend, which was, I think, the second to last official Star Wars weekend, we had the best time. And I brought my family up, and it was just, there's something special about having it be dedicated for like the stretch from the beginning of May till early June. And you had special guests, so it was a lot of fun. And maybe because of the hotel, they'll do it again in that sense. I don't know. But again, it is smaller than all the other resorts. And from what I've been reading, it's only going to be open for a short period of time. So, but again, if it's supposed to be all in an all immersive experience, I'm really eager to feel that. Just for a once-in-a-lifetime experience, I would do that. Definitely do that. So the other thing is that we're getting the first Mickey theme ride, and which is called Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So it is, and I hope they do, the old style animation, which is kind of like what they do with their new series, which I kid you not, it is freaking funny. Normally, the humor for Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and Goofy and all that, the classic cartoons, they were okay. They were very safe. But the new stuff that they've been producing, and again, you can watch the little shorts on YouTube, hysterical. It's really well done, and the animation plays homage to that old style, but it has fresh humor that I just love that series. So if this ride is going to mirror that, I hope that's what they're going to do. Now, I don't know what they're going to do as far as the ride itself or what's it going to entail or any kind of new technology, but there was this one, and I'm blanking out on the name of the cartoon, but it was an old cartoon, or at least it was meant to be old, black and white, and Mickey is thrown out of that universe through the movie screen, and then he's in color, and they're interacting with the real world versus what is happening in black and white in the movie world. And it was done very cleverly, so I'll be more impressed if they integrate something like that into a ride. But again, I'm kind of interested to see what they will do with that. Now, the other thing, there was a big surprise. Epcot is getting a lot of stuff redone, and it needs it big time. But the Universe of Energy Pavilion is getting changed, in which we're going to get Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's not Mission Breakout, not like the one in California. So how is this possible? Because the contract or the deal is that Universal has rights to Marvel characters, but they couldn't, Disney, put anything in its parks. So I've been trying to figure out what's going on or as to how this is even possible. So how is it that Disney is able to get Guardians of the Galaxy in Orlando? So I've been trying to figure out if it's just a matter of names, meaning that Universal can say Marvel superheroes as opposed to Disney just saying superheroes, even though they'll sell the merchandise for Marvel. So is it Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's the reason how they can get away with it, or they can't say because it's Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and then that's why they can get away with it. I'll do some research and figure out what happens. Ratatouille is going to get a trackless ride, which I think is exciting. I didn't like the movie that much, but okay. I'm happy for it. I mean, I loved the Paris Pavilion anyway. And the film that they do there, I'm always, I get very emotional by watching that short film, just because of the music and the imagery. I just love everything about Paris. One day, I will need to go to Paris. So then I can say, we'll always have Paris. All right, going back to Tomorrowland. I mentioned last time that the Tron ride was going to be replacing the Speedway track. And it's not. It's not. It's going to be behind it. So, talk about a clash of old world versus new world. I mean, if Tomorrowland is tomorrow, what's going to happen in the future, I guess is a representation of our struggles to have clean energy. I don't know, with the Tron, right? Versus the old combustible engine of the Speedway. So, I don't know. Whatever the case is, it's going to be next to Space Mountain and behind Speedway. Just leave it. It'll be fine. And, oh, and the other thing, too, is that in the, there's a new space restaurant that's also going to be a la, like, the Star Wars themed hotels, and which is all immersive, basically near Mission Space. You go in again, this restaurant that you're going to feel like you're in outer space, and so you have like a space station kind of feel. And through the windows, you'll see astronauts and space and Earth below. And I'm like, they really are doing a great job getting my interest to go to all these parks. So I'm just like drooling all over myself. And then, of course, we will have the gondolas, or the skyliners, as to call it, traveling between the different parks, which is fantastic. I remember one year that my family and I went to Animal Kingdom, and we took the ferry from Animal Kingdom to Epcot. And we've never done that before, and it was great. But then, like, normal weather in Orlando, it started raining badly, to the point that the ferries weren't moving. And where we were on the England side of the park. So if you know the location of where England is in the park, in proximity to the exit or the entrance of Epcot, it's a far walk. And in the rain, it's not enjoyable. So the problem lied, we were stuck. We had limited options. So because it had stopped raining, it was still not going to allow the boats to run back to Animal Kingdom to pick our car and all that. So we were stuck, and we had to kind of navigate through the hotels that were attached and then take a bus back to Animal Kingdom, and then it was a nightmare. So I'm hoping that this really helps with the transportation issue between parks, because even though you can go from one hotel to different parks, going from park to park, that's a whole other issue. So I'm really looking forward to that being a better option and experience altogether. And, of course, we talked about Toy Story Land coming to Walt Disney, and which is going to be next year in the summer, in the last podcast. And that's about it. Again, I'm going to be talking about all the Disney movies when we get into the Comic-Con and kind of combine everything together. So it's this weekend. And that's why I'm doing the podcast now, so I can just spend the weekend just focusing on all that. And aside from that, Gina and I are going to Dragon Con this year. We're going to be there from the Thursday to the Monday, so we'll be there throughout the whole time. So if you're going to be up in Dragon Con, I would love to see who the hell is listening to my podcast, or even, you know, want to stop by and say hi, or meet up somewhere and have a podcast to be recorded with us. That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? So in any case, remember, I would love to hear from you. You can always email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. Follow me on the various social networks. And again, really, thank you for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast, Sci-Fi from a Certain Point of View. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.